Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians. It's a book that Paul wrote to the people of Galatia, trying to encourage them to understand that traditions have been set, but Jesus has come. So those traditions need to be altered or changed or updated. Let's listen to chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And all of you belong to Christ. Then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. So we're watching movies. So that's been great. But I've got to kind of fill you in and give you a sense of where we are with the movie Brave. So let me give you a brief synopsis before we watch our clip. Merida, the impetuous but courageous daughter of the Scottish King Fergus and Queen Eleanor, is a skilled archer who wants to carve out her own path in life. Her mother, the queen, wants her to become a perfect and well-mannered queen just like herself. However, Merida would much rather be free to make her own decision and her own destiny. To convince her mother that she is in charge of her own destiny, Merida undermines an age-old tradition that allowed the neighboring clans to fight for the princess's hand in marriage. She humiliates her suitors and angered the Highland lords on the archery range by pretty much showing her mother that she was in charge and in charge of her fate. This angers her mother. And they butt heads. A distraught and angry Merida seeks help from an eccentric witch who then grants her an ill-fated wish. Merida's wish was meant to change her fate by changing her mother. The spell was cast, and instead of simply changing her mother's mind about the marriage and the betrothal, if you will, the spell changed her mother literally into a big hairy bear. Now Merida must discover the true meaning of courage and undo the beastly curse before it's too late. In the process of undoing the curse, mother and daughter both find a new relationship and build a stronger bond between themselves, all while each are transformed into more confident, selfless, and independent women. The two understand that to break the curse, they must make their way back to the castle and in the process must confront the disgruntled clansmen, those that she made look really bad on the archery range, and initiate attacks against each other before it grew out of hand. So the scene this morning comes with about 25 minutes left in the movie. Merida realizes that she must stand up and confront the clansmen before chaos and turmoil, okay, turns into decades of war and hatred among the tribes. She uses her newfound perspective to reason with them, and her speech is transformative. Let's watch.
Once there was an ancient kingdom.
What is this?
That kingdom fell into war and chaos and ruin.
Oh, we've all heard that tale, Lost Kingdom.
Aye, but it's true. I know now how one selfish act can turn the fate of a kingdom.
Bah, It's just a legend.
Legends are lessons. They ring with truths. Our kingdom is young. Our stories are not yet legend. But in them, our bond was struck. Our clans were once enemies. But when invaders threatened us from the sea, you joined together to defend our lands. You fought for each other. You risked everything for each other. Lord MacGuffin, my dad saved your life stopping an arrow as you ran to Dingwall's aid.
Aye, and I'll never forget it.
And Lord MacIntosh, you saved my dad when you charged in on heavy horse and held off the advance. And we all know how Lord Dingwall broke the enemy line.
With a mighty throw of his spear!
I was aiming at you, you big chubsy!
The story of this kingdom is a powerful one. My dad rallied your forces and you made him your king. It was an alliance forged in bravery and friendship, and it lives to this day. I've been selfish. I tore a great rift in our kingdom. There's no one to blame but me. And I know now that I need to amend my mistake and mend our bond. And so, there is the matter of my betrothal. I've decided to do what's right. And break tradition. My mother, the queen, feels in her heart that we be free to write our own story, follow our hearts, and find love in our own time.
Pray. O gracious and glorious God, may the words that I speak this morning ring true to you and to these people, and allow the message to speak to them in some way, shape, or form. In your heavenly, wonderful name we pray. Amen. I must admit, a few weeks ago, I was excited about the opportunity to bring an animated movie to life by making theological connections between the characters in that movie and ourselves. I kept it in the back of my mind that I wanted to actually work with the movie Brave. I'd seen the movie a couple of times and actually had a copy of it sitting on the shelf. It had been years since I'd seen it, but thought developing a sermon with it would probably be a cinch. There were complex characters. There were relationship issues. A little mysticism, right? All of which would provide some interesting dialogue. As the weeks passed and the sermon prep intensified, I realized that the notion of this being a cinch was a bit premature. I quickly discovered that my initial assumptions about the movie were correct. However, it had failed to understand how difficult it would be to pick just one focused perspective. The complexity of the movie, all of its themes, provided plenty of sermon fodder. However, choosing just one became the labor-intensive task. Then picking one simple three-minute segment that encapsulated the entire 90-minute movie became a headache. It was ludicrous. Honestly, I'll tell you, it was ludicrous. Either way, I've reached my conclusions, and this movie provides us with an undeniable glimpse of what it means to be brave. Taking a historical approach, it becomes quite clear. Legends, stories, myths help communities organize and structure their traditions, their way of life. Moving forward, all of it is shaped by the stories that explain their past. The stories that speak of relationships, the land that's beneath their feet, and ideological leaders of past provide them with guidance on how to govern, what to believe, and what laws or traditions are important and which ones are not. Every community has them. Some view these stories as sacred and unchanging, while others recognize their importance yet question their relevance in modern culture. One need not look beyond this week's news with New Orleans removing Confederate statues from their public places to realize how conflicted people can become regarding those stories that shape their world and their traditions and their cultures. Merida was trapped in this space. During the early stages of the movie, her mother spent countless hours ensuring she understood the Klan's heritage and the expectations that came with her role. Her father recounted over and over again stories, myths, legends that explained who they were and where they came from. She had heard the stories time and again, but never really allowed them to impede her livelihood. She was required to go to school. She learned proper etiquette and had to adhere to certain rules. But when she was able to take a reprieve from such duties, she took full advantage. Riding far off into the Scottish countryside to leave the hubbub of that life behind her. Although Merida knew these things and heard the legends and stories over and over and over again, she continued to rebel. She did not want fate to be tied to these traditions. She wanted fate to be of her own choosing. Just like Merida, the people of Galatia were trapped in this space. They had heard the stories about Jesus, the miracles he had performed during his ministry, turning water into wine, healing the sick, feeding thousands of people with loaves of bread and fish, and raising Lazarus from the dead. They had also heard of his miraculous resurrection. So they'd heard those stories. Paul made sure, and others came to tell them on a regular basis about these stories. However, like most other cities within the Roman Empire, there were Jewish settlements. There were settlements of people who had been living there long after and long before who had different traditions. Followers who adhered to Torah laws had a difficult time deciphering best practices. Should they continue following Jesus' law or the Jewish law and then believe in Jesus? Or should they disregard tradition altogether and adhere to a new perspective, Jesus Christ as Savior? Paul, a newly converted facilitator, I think everybody wants to check, see? Okay, good. Sorry. So Paul had to deal with this. Okay, he was a newly converted facilitator for Jesus, encountered many communities who wrestled with these questions. Tradition, what had been before, okay? And also, how do we change? How do we move forward? Giving up traditions that were created by stories and legends was not an easy thing to do. Following Torah, Jewish laws were a part of the social structure and predicted social and personal harmony. Made things easier. Sure, there were disgruntled followers who wanted to rebel against tradition, much like Merida in our story, and they were easy to convert. But most of the Galatians enjoyed the stability of traditional values and laws. In turn, they were not so easy to convert. This notion that tradition was speaking louder than the apostles' voices or stories were present and problematic. Also, not only fighting with tradition itself, Paul had to fight with Jewish traditions born out of stories and legends. But he also had to deal with other people who were going out telling people about Jesus in Galatia and saying, you know what, keep those laws. Be circumcised. Do the things that Torah tells you to do and still be a Jesus follower. Those were false prophets that Paul had to deal with in Galatia. It is easy to conclude that rules and laws built by traditions are powerful tools that can shape and maintain communities, right? They provide structure for the society as well as a moral compass in which they should live. both the story of Paul and his work with the people of Galatia and Merida and her brawl with her mom and dad in Scotland provide a glimpse of how powerful tradition can be. The struggle to dismantle the stronghold of tradition is the storyline of almost every story ever told. This revelation cannot be the point of my message today. Such a conclusion lacks depth and perspective. It is the actions taken by our antagonist, Merida and Paul, that will be our guiding light this morning. Merida knew her kingdom's traditions, the ones being forced upon her, and everyone else for that matter. She knew they were flawed. Therefore, she moved forward to ensure they were dismantled. Her tactics were not perfect. I mean, having a witch turn her mom into a bear, kind of a bad thing, right? Not the most eloquent of moves for her. And for the most part, they appear in the very beginning of the movie and through the middle that they were self-serving. She had motivation, personal motivation, why she wanted to see them go away. However, we find that as she rebuilds her relationship with her mother, who's now a bear, right, the motive to dismantle the strict assertions of tradition and laws have changed. What started out as self-centered act to stop the wedding she did not want became a desire to understand the legends and stories and how they are important to the development of her way of life. She allowed herself to really listen to the stories and understand them. And in so doing, she was able to evoke positive, productive change. Just before the movie clip began, the clans had taken refuge in corners of the throne room and were throwing spears and launching arrows at each other. Then Merida enters the room and then she opens her mouth. Her retelling of their story, illuminating important points along the way, provided the catalyst for reconciliation and change. According to Pixar, Merida brought peace and perspective to the complacent, albeit aggressive, and hard-headed clans. Her eventual selfless interpretation of their legends and stories became the motivation for transformation. If we would have continued the movie clip, we would have seen that the tradition that arranging marriages was getting rid of that tradition. We would have continued the movie, we would have seen that arranged marriages were banished after that. That everybody was in agreement and they appreciated the change. Therefore, Merida was successful in her quest to choose her own destiny and tease apart the stranglehold that tradition held on their betrothal practices. So she just had to do it a different way. Much was the same for Paul as he wrote his letter to the Galatians. He had to open his mouth with an aura of experience and knowledge. 23 says, verse 23, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed." Speaking in terms of Torah, speaking in terms of Jewish law. "Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we no longer are subject to the disciplinarian of the law." If Paul had lacked knowledge of Torah laws and ignored such cries for adhering to tradition, he would have struggled mightily with converting the congregation of Galatia. They would have seen him as divisive and uninformed of the real struggle that happened when you question tradition. Probability is, had he ignored their heritage, they would have fought back and ignored his calls for transformation. The fact that Paul was able to speak their language helped in his attempts to enlighten the people of Galatia. Because he was able to engage the congregation on their terms, using their language, he was able to transform their worldview and break the bondage of tradition, just as Merida had done in the scene this morning. There, the congregation at Galatia, in their dependence on strict adherence to Jewish laws was properly questioned, meaning performed, understood, known by the person who's saying it, and provided enough support that allowed him to say the next phrase. "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Paul knew his stuff. Paul knew their traditions, their stories. And he was able to talk to them based on those stories. In turn, Paul could be a catalyst for transformation, being an initiator of new life for the people stuck in a way of life dictated by strict adherence to traditional laws. We can learn from our friends, for we too live in a society or a world that is straddled by legends and stories and myths that inform our traditions. Our communities in general have an amazingly difficult time maneuvering through transitions. The traditions run deep and change is hard for most. The primary example in today's Christian world comes when we attempt to interpret Scripture. Muddling through history and tradition seems to always create a snag. Some believe in a strict, literal interpretation, evangelical Christians, while others trust and value a historical, critical interpretation of Scripture, more the mainline Protestant. Those who value a strict, literal interpretation believe that their reading of Scripture shall not undermine or alter the Scriptures at all, lest they be deemed irrelevant or unimportant. Others value a full-bodied understanding of Scripture, believing the only relevant interpretation comes from the honest understanding of context and knowledge of authorship and intent. This is quite a conundrum. Two groups looking at the same scriptures, hearing the same legends and stories, living similar histories, coming to two different conclusions in how to interpret and read Scripture. Other examples include cultural heritage. Does your family line progress through the South or the North? Are you a rural or urban dweller? Are you a historical Democrat or are you a Republican? Are you black? Are you white? Are you Jew? Are you Greek? No matter what, we are shaped by the stories that precede us. One's travesty can be another person's victory based on your social location or your perspective. We find ourselves in a precarious position. One, our two antagonists, both Merida and Paul, found themselves in as well. When confronted by strict and sometimes varied renderings of legends or stories, renderings that have been transformed into unalterable traditions, what shall we do? What is the best course of action? How should we proceed? Sometimes our natural instinct is to fight back and attempt to reason with them, change their minds at all costs, point out the error of their ways. I see myself attempting this regularly, especially on Facebook. I do so with good conscience. I do so with positive motives. At least I think I do. But I usually find myself walking away from the discussion with a bruised ego and a discouraged heart. We must learn from our antagonists. Merida listened and learned. She removed the self-centered motivations and focused on an honest understanding of the story, in turn allowing her a seat at the table to discuss her own faith. The Apostle Paul spoke the language, in turn validating the convictions of the Galatians and their interpretations of tradition. Doing so allowed him access to the conversation about their faith. Our antagonists were capable of transforming their respective groups. Paul and the Galatians, Merida and the Scottish clans, by listening to and learning from the legends, the stories associated with those traditions. They provide credence and value to their attempt. Can we follow suit? Can we open ourselves up to hearing the stories, learning from those legends, and sitting with the traditions long enough? Do we have the courage to sit and listen, to understand, to speak their language long enough to find a seat at their table to find a way to actually become a part of the discussion. A lowly, self-centered princess from Scotland could do it. Paul could do it. Can we do it?